You may remember that last Sunday when we looked at Mary's song or prayer, the Magnificat, I said that Mary was overwhelmed by the fact that the most uniquely remarkable, miraculous, supernatural intervention of God in the history of this planet was soon to happen, and that it would happen through her. Now, I know we are all very familiar with this story and the event that was about to take place in Bethlehem 9 months later. But as we prepare on these Advent Sundays to celebrate that fantastic event, I think it's essential that we take time to stop for a while and try to appreciate and take in just how spectacularly unique Mary's experience was. I wonder how you have used some of the enforced time at home over the past year. Made the garden a delight to behold, I think, for some. Redecorated your house from top to bottom. Done some of the DIY jobs that you'd been avoiding. Perhaps reading some books that have been sitting unread on the shelf. Or perhaps watching a bit more TV than usual. Julie and I have done some of those. And one of our TV projects, believe it or not, has been to watch every episode of every series of Call the Midwife. 78 episodes, which sounds like a lot, but if you spread it over 10 months, it's about 2 a week, I think. On average, each episode shows 2 births. That means that we have witnessed at least 150 births this year. And each one is amazing. I mean, I still think they are amazing. And I always have the question, where do they get those babies from for this production? Do they have a bank of them somewhere? I don't know. Anyway, if you've ever been present at a birth, and I know that many, many will have been and have been very intimately involved, you'll know how wonderful it is to see a new baby born. Now, some people say, and I think we've already heard it said this morning, and I don't want to get into a controversy over this, but everyone says that every birth is a miracle. It's a miracle, which of course is not strictly true. It's quite natural. It's amazing, but it is natural. And actually, the birth of Jesus wasn't miraculous. It was the conception that was a miracle. Now, you might think I'm being nitpicking, but the whole event, actually, the whole process from conception to delivery, it's that whole process that ought to cause us to be filled with awe and wonder. And not so much what was happening, but who it was that was being born. John begins his account of Jesus's life by saying in the first chapter of his gospel, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not know him. And the Word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us." Try not to miss the jaw-dropping sense of wonder that John is trying to express here. In fact, he begins his first New Testament letter, 1 John chapter 1, by repeating that same sense of amazement when he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. The one word title to this historic event is, of course, the incarnation, literally being made flesh. God, who is a spirit, becoming a human being. Let me just read to you a few verses from John chapter 14 that we're trying to tie our Advent thoughts into this, what we call a team talk that Jesus gave to his disciples. In John chapter 14 and verse 9, we read, verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Here we see part of the clear purpose in the Son of God, God the Son, becoming a man. Philip, one of the disciples, seems to have decided that he would be able to cope with Jesus's departure if he could just see and know God the Father in the way that Jesus obviously saw and knew him, which is a fair point. So he says to Jesus, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus's answer makes the whole mystery of the incarnation as clear as we, along with Philip, need it to be. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Since the time I became a Christian, way back in my teens, I have found this to be one of the most wonderful facts within the gospel, that the best way that God could show us what he is like, the most graspable way of us being able to understand God, is for him to become a man in Jesus, so that I can genuinely answer questions like, what is God like? What would God do in this situation? What would God think about this issue? I can answer those questions by saying, well, what was Jesus like? Well, what would Jesus have done? By looking at the life of Jesus and seeing there a comprehensible and relatively simple way of coming to know God. It is wonderful. The incarnation is God's way of making it possible for us to understand so much about him and get to know him. A number of years ago, I heard a story that helps to illustrate why the incarnation is so important. You may have heard this story before, but it bears repeating and hearing again. So here it is. There was once a man who didn't believe in God, and he didn't hesitate to let others know how he felt about religion and religious holidays like Christmas. His wife, however, did believe, and she raised her children, their children, to also have a faith in God and the metaphysical meaning of Jesus the Christ, despite her husband's disparaging comments. One snowy Christmas Eve, the wife was taking their children to a Christmas Eve service in the farm community in which they lived. She asked him to come, but he refused. "That story is nonsense," he said. "Why would God lower himself to come to earth through a man called Jesus who became the Christ? That's ridiculous." So she and the children left and he stayed home. A while later, the winds grew stronger and the snow turned into a blizzard. As the man looked out of the window, all he saw was a blinding snowstorm. He sat down to relax before the fire for the evening. Then he heard a loud thump. Something had hit the window. Then another thump. He ventured outside to see what could have been beating on his window. In the field near his house, he saw a flock of wild geese. Apparently, they had got caught in the snowstorm and couldn't go on. They just flapped their wings and flew around the field in low circles, blindly and aimlessly. A couple of them had flown into his window, it seemed. The man felt sorry for the geese and wanted to help them. The barn would be a great place for them to stay, he thought. So it's warm and it's safe. Surely they could spend the night and wait out the storm. So he walked over to the barn and opened the doors wide, then watched and waited, hoping that they would notice the open barn and go inside. But the geese just fluttered around aimlessly and didn't seem to notice the barn or realize what it could mean for them. The man tried to get their attention, but they still didn't catch on. He tried to shoo them towards the barn, but nothing he did could get them to go into the barn where they would be warm and safe. "Why don't they follow me?" he exclaimed. "Can't they see? This is the only place where they can survive the storm." He thought for a moment and then realized that they just wouldn't follow a human. "If only I were a goose, then I could save them," he said out loud. Then he had an idea. He went into the barn, got one of his own geese, and carried it in his arms as he circled around behind the flock of wild geese. He then released it. His goose flew through the flock and straight into the barn, and one by one, the other geese followed it to safety. He stood silently for a moment as the words he'd spoken a few minutes earlier replayed in his mind. "If only I were a goose, then I could save them." Then he thought about what he had said to his wife earlier. Why would God want to lower himself to be like us? That's ridiculous. Suddenly, it all made sense. That's what God had done. We were like the geese, blind, lost, perishing. God had his son become like us so that he could show us the way and enlighten us. That was the meaning of Christmas. And suddenly he understood what Christmas was all about, why Jesus, who became the Christ, had come so that we could become the sons and daughters of the living God. So years of doubt and disbelief vanished, and he fell on his knees in the snow and prayed his first prayer. Thank you, God, for coming in human form to get me out of the storm. I think it's a great story. I'm not sure if it's true, but it's a great story. God is amazing. His ways are amazing. His care for us is so great that he found this wonderful way for us to know him and live with and for him. How can we, with our limited capacity to comprehend infinity and eternity, how can we even hope to understand God in all his majesty and then work out how we should live lives that somehow reflect his nature, his character? It's impossible. But nothing is impossible for God. And he found a way. To us, a child was born. To us, a son was given. When the time was right, he sent his son, born of a woman, to redeem us. Let's pray that God will help us in this Advent season to contemplate afresh, with awe and wonder, the incarnation of God. And let's be thankful that in this remarkable way, he has made it possible for us to know him. Let's pray together. Father, we don't want ever to lose that sense of amazement and awe and wonder over what you did when Jesus came into the world. We don't ever want to take it for granted. We don't ever want to cover the story over with all sorts of other stuff, Lord, and miss the whole point of what you were doing. So, Lord, again, this Advent time, we just want to ask you, by your Holy Spirit, breathe the reality of this into our hearts again. Fill us, Lord, with a sense of wonder at what you have done for us. We give you thanks that you sent your Son to be amongst us, to be one of us, in order to lead us to yourself, to show us what you're like. We thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for his life, for the accounts of his life that we have in the Gospels that teach us so much about you. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to draw near to you afresh this Advent time. And we ask it in his name. Amen.